Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Three, two, one. Hey, welcome to the Saturday Strong Podcast. We're coming off a record. This is Steve Johnson. We're coming off a record week last week. 48,000 downloads. We thank you very much. Tim Porochka, Minnesota Tim, as you know him, he is here with me today. And Tim, we set a record. That was awesome.
We did set a record last week. I remember before the show you were saying, Tim, I'm hoping for 10,000 downloads this week. And our download numbers just completely blew that out of the water. We're at 48,000 right now and counting. So, listeners, we appreciate you listening. And Steve's skinny dipping story and story.
I'm trying to figure out why we got so many. Now, I talked to Hank about it. And Hank says, why do you think you got so many downloads? I said, the only thing I can think of, Tim said profanity a couple times, pornographic things. I mean, that could have beeped it up a little bit, but also I told my Rush Limbaugh story.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Rush Limbaugh, now he's not loved by every American, but I would imagine that the Americans and non-Americans that are listening to this podcast are pretty conservative, and Rush Limbaugh was the voice of the conservative. And I told a personal story about him, and next thing you know, boom, 48,000.
We've got a lot to talk about this week on the Saturday Strong. So first, let's get an update from Texas. You know, last week we had an update that you're waiting a week for Allstate, waiting a week for the flood guys to show up. You're trying to get the carpet out of there. You know, your water's running through your house like crazy. We'll get to Tiger later. We'll get to Max Homa's win later. We'll get to the WGC later. We've got a lot to talk about. But first, let's start with how are you doing in Texas? Let's get an update.
Well, the analysis is starting to happen. But by the way, personally, still on the waiting game. I'm on the waiting line, now serving number 4,000, and I'm up there about 20,000. So
okay,
just waiting patiently. We've done some things on our own to try to mitigate the water. But we're just waiting. We're waiting to see what happens. We're back in the house, which is nice, out of the hotel. But as soon as they start construction, we're going to go back into out of the house. We're going to go into an apartment for a little while. I'm trying to find an apartment like you had over there in Hollywood Park. It was a studio.
St. Louis Park.
Louis Park. There you go. It was a studio, but it had a big closet. So you turned that into a bedroom. So you turned your studio apartment into a one bedroom.
I did.
We're trying to find something like that.
A little claustrophobic in there, but yeah, I got the job done.
But enough about me and enough about the weather. That, you know, all of the experts now are analyzing what went wrong in Texas, and they're pointing to the models. The models are too old. They didn't really realize what kind of power they would need under these type of circumstances. All they had to do is look at Minnesota. It happens every year. It gets under freezing for many, many days. And you never hear about power going out up in Minneapolis or St. Louis Park or Hollywood Park or wherever.
Yeah, that's true. So I got to ask you this question. How many people are blaming Biden for this?
Nobody.
Really?
Nobody. Oh, okay. It's a state problem. The problem was,
who's getting the blame then? Who are the people blaming?
You know what? It's the company that's in charge of making sure the grid. It's an acronym, Enron or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what the name of it is, but they were talking about it on the news yesterday that the models were old. The models were run at under optimum conditions. Now we do have the federal government. This is the only time the federal government's been brought into it. The federal government does give subsidies for alternative renewable energy sources. Well, the problem is solar and wind power work under optimal conditions, but they do not work under severe weather conditions, as we found out. 25% of our grid is supplied by those two renewable resources. But you know what? I know he's gone, but his name is going to be remembered on and on. Boone Pickens, big oil and gas guy here in Dallas, has the perhaps the biggest North American reserve of natural gas. And natural gas came to save the day when all these power plants went down. It wasn't like they were trying to, hey, let's get that windmill, let's get that wind power going again. They needed something that was reliable under all conditions. And that's fossil fuel. That's, you know, natural gas. That's old school. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of blame. But the bottom line is there's still, I think, almost all the power is on. However, a lot of people are still without clean water. So boil them up and have some hot tea.
So is the golf range back open?
Oh, yeah, we're open. We had a little rainstorm last night, 1.5 inches of rain, but we're going to be fine. I'm in a golf school this afternoon. A guy that's a putting and chipping yipper. He's got the yips. Mm. And that's one of the things that Hank asked me about one of your favorite players. And I'm going to ask you some questions about him because he is one of the most popular players in your house. And yeah, that would be Max Homa. And Max Homa is beat Tony Finau at the Genesis Invitational in a playoff. Made what he went par, and Tony Finau went par bogey. Another close miss by Tony Finau. But like, do you think that Max Homa is going to be the next up and comer? Do you like his chances of being a dominant player? What do you see? Because you've studied him, you do his podcast. He and Shane Bacon. What do they call it? Off the rails.
Get a grip podcast with Shane Bacon and Max Homa.
Okay, so you know a lot about. Tell us what is great about Max Homa's game and why you like him.
Okay, so one to start, I don't want to make this sound like I have this super duper close relationship with Max Homa because I don't. Some people go on shows and podcasts like Nota Begay and act like they have like these super close relationships with these PGA Tour players. Now, Max Homa and I, we do have some sort of a relationship. We send each other a couple of texts per week, but we're not getting in-depth in those text messages. Sometimes we send jokes to each other to showcase our personality to each other, but I've never met the guy. We've talked on the phone once or twice, and, you know, it's a very casual friendship, you know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay, so you did. I mean, you're a producer, so you did research him a little bit. What's so good about his game?
He's a pretty good iron player. And honestly, this year he's driving it really well. I think his short game has been a struggle in the past. Now, I don't have his PGA Tour statistics in front of me right now. I should actually pull that up.
Pretty damn good. Yeah, I looked him up. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good right now. Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, his ball striking is pretty good. I think he's a great ball striker. He's moved up to 38th in the world golf rankings. He's not going to be a dominant player in the world. He's not going to be a top five player. Do I think he can reach it to the top 20, top 25? Yeah, I think he can be in that 15 to 25 range, but I don't think he's a top 10 player on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. He was playing pretty good to start the WGC, and then he triple bogeyed the final hole to put him at one over par. But it was super fun to watch because Haley and I, we were watching together. We watched all day Sunday.
That's your fiance, right?
That's my fiance. Okay. Yep. We were watching all day Sunday. And she was really into it. And she doesn't really watch that much golf, but because she knew I was into it because of Max, then all of a sudden Haley was starting to get nervous watching Max too. And that was enjoyable. The stretch of holes coming down, Max's drives, he was bombing the ball right down the middle of the fairway on the closing holes. His iron shot on 18 sticks it next to the pin, 3-footer, and then he misses. It was one of the combinations of greatest shots and greatest chokes in a tournament that you'll see.
I mean, let's not label it a choke. I know 3-footers, most guys, you look at the statistical analysis on shots gained, and 3-footing in, PGA Tour guys are about 98.1% conversions. They never miss. They hardly ever miss. Those greens are tough, though, especially that green. That green is tough because it's sloped. It's late in the day. It's Poana. It's bumpy. The margin of error on that putt right there, that 3-footer, is very, very small. Now, you say choke, but what I say, and this is, I'm going to go back to what Hank talks about, pressure putting. I mean, you look at Max Homa's stats, and I was just testing you a little bit. Max Homa's putting stats are pretty good.
Are they?
Yeah, they are good. You know, he's in the top 50 in almost every category. But pressure putting, you watch Max Homa, and I was surprised. He gets a lot of airtime for a guy that hasn't really won much. Over the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's big on social media, and I'm thinking maybe these CBS or NBC or whoever is the producer in the trailer saying, hey, this guy's got a great Twitter following. Let's follow him.
How can you say his putting's great? He's 119th in putting.
Look at last year, though. Look at last year.
Look at last year. Okay. Yeah. I'll look at last year. Okay. 69th. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not bad. I mean, he's not but one of the things that I have noticed, because they've showed him a lot lately, is that when he has a chance to make a statement on a couple birdies, very convertible putts, not only is he missing them, he's missing them short and he's missing them below the hole. So it tells me he's almost like a Dustin Johnson. Hey, I don't like stress. I get it up there close. If it goes in, great, but my next putt's going to be a little bit of a tap in. That's what he looks like. He looks like some of these, when the greens get fast, like they did at Riviera, the optimum speed to make the ball roll true and to give the best chance of going in the hole is a certain speed that's going to send the ball 3 to 5 feet by the hole on certain situations. If you're not willing to make that 5 footer coming back, you're just really hoping that you get the right bump, you get the right, you get the right wiggle so for the ball to go in. Every time, and I didn't see that putt on 18. Did he knock it pretty far by, or was it just right next to the hole, very close?
It was close. It was okay. Close. I mean, the putt was like an in and outer. Like it was trying to, like, it wasn't going into the center cup. It hit the left side of the hole, and then it kind of wrapped around and went to the right. And then he just lifted it up.
Yeah. Okay, he lifted it. So, I mean, that's just another example. Here's a guy that Tom Watson back in the day, Jack Nicklaus back in the day, Tiger Woods in the day would roll that ball so it had a true roll so he could hold the line. And that, if it didn't go in, it would have gone, depending on the putt, if it was a little bit side hill or downhill, it would have gone 3 to 5 feet by. They would have made it coming back.
I was really impressed by Max's turnaround after that, though, because then the first playoff hole on number 10, he drives it next to a tree. The announcers are saying he's dead. The announcers are saying he has absolutely no chance at getting this ball on the green. The announcers are saying he's going to have to chip out to the right or take a drop. He's got no chance to beat Tony Finau, who's right next to the green and will make par easily. And then Max puts it on the green, 2 putts for par. And then he wins on the second playoff hole, the par three. I was just really impressed by the way he was able to put that behind him and then win in a playoff, because this is Max's dream event to win. He grew up around Riviera. He grew up 25 miles away. He grew up going to this event. Max called this 1A, 1B, and 1C of events that he wants to win on the PGA Tour. And I'm really just happy for the guy.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great deal. I mean, I wish he had a little bit more personality on the golf course. He looks, he's stone-faced out there. He's got the shoulders hanging down. His body language is not the greatest.
I love his personality on the golf course. Seriously. I love how he has the combination of, I love how he separates Twitter Max from on the course Max, because some people can't seem to do that. And Max does, and people who analyze him don't understand that you can be funny off the golf course and you can be serious on the golf course. There's a difference there. Max knows it. Max separates it. But for whatever reason, people who analyze golf and watch golf and fans that watch golf don't seem to understand that there can be work you and then there can be off the course you.
Yeah, but here's what I'm talking about. His humor off the course is like self-deprecating humor. He knocks himself down a little bit. He talks about, you know, his lack of talent. He talks about different things that don't build himself. It doesn't sound like it's not an ego boost for him. It may be in some way, but it's a neg. He knocks himself a lot. And his body language on the golf course is exactly the same way. It looks like he is upset at himself. It looks like he's, oh God, what am I going to do? How am I going to mess this up? It may be totally inaccurate, but that's what he looks like to me. He looks like a guy that's waiting for the wheels to fall off and what's going to happen to me next. And luckily this week it didn't. I mean, he got it done. And, you know, he won a playoff with a guy, Tony Finau, who hasn't been able to get it done either. Now, Hank would say 33% of the time you're going to get it done when you're on the lead or close to the lead with nine holes left. But Tony Finau has not been able to get it done for one reason or another. And, you know, he deserves some wins. And I can't wait. I don't think he's going to be a floodgator. I think he's going to be a guy. In fact, you're not going to believe this, Tim, but I thought, you know what? This would be a perfect event for Tony Finau to win. And this is the easiest way to win. Coming from behind, getting out there early, posting a score, and waiting for everyone else to choke. That's the way that most guys, when they, let's say their first three or four events that they win, that is the easiest way to win. The hardest way to win is to be on the lead, to be in the press room almost every day, to be the last one off, to be out there under the conditions that are not the greatest because everyone's walked on the green. The caddies have walked on the greens. The officials have walked on the greens, especially there at Riviera. They do get bumpy in the afternoon. And I mean, it's saying a lot that Max got this thing done.
Yeah, I was so happy for the guy. One of the most authentic guys on the PGA Tour. Super nice, super cool. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, let's talk about Tiger Woods. Let's talk about that situation. Let's talk about his road to recovery. Let's talk about if you expect him to recover. But first, go to voodoopainrelief.com right now for a free two-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. This formula will take care of your aches. This formula will take care of your pains. And right now, Hank is offering a free two-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. It's that easy. Just go to the website. A tab will pull up. The Great Predictors used it. I've used it. It helps our bodies immensely. Go to voodoopainrelief.com right now and feel better today.
Welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Last week, 48,000 downloads. We thank you very much. We're looking to go to 60,000 downloads this
week. You better say
week.
Something controversial, Steve.
Okay. All right. I'll think of something. I think this segment is going to be the one. We're talking Tiger Woods. And okay, so Monday morning, Tiger's on the... Now, first of all, you sent me a picture of Tiger up in the booth with Jim Nance. It was a still photo, and he did not look good. Now, no. I saw that. In fact, I didn't see all of it. My wife, Michelle, saw that interview, and she says, wow, he didn't look at all like that. Do you think that photo was photoshopped?
I don't know. I mean, I watched the interview, and Tiger didn't look good in the interview either.
Okay. All right. So I'm going with you on that then. We'll say that was accurate. He didn't look good in the picture that you sent me. He looked like he was half stoned. And so on Monday morning when I heard that I'm here at the golf ranch.
It was Tuesday.
Was it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
Tuesday? Okay.
It was Tuesday.
Okay. I lost a day.
He was playing golf with David Spade and Dwayne Wade on Monday.
Okay. All right. And then he was going back to do some type of Discovery Golf TV shoot with those guys. Where he's giving him tips and all that stuff. He's not playing because recovering from the back surgery. So Tuesday, 7:12, we hear that Tiger Woods got in an accident. What's with this fake news deal? Jaws of Life?
Yeah.
Did he have it pulled out for the jaws? I mean, you think that the reporters could get that accurate? I mean, that all of a sudden, my mind starts, you know, racing. Okay, what?
Everyone's dead. Yeah.
Okay, so Tiger's... gets pulled out. He's probably, if he gets pulled out with the jaws of life, he's probably unconscious. I'm picturing after I saw that photo that you sent me on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Sunday. Just checking my days.
Yep.
That you sent me on Sunday. Look, I thought, oh man, he was probably hungover. He was probably had residual effects from whatever he'd been taking. He'd been on some pain meds, I'm sure, from the back surgery. Wow. This is not good for Tiger Woods. Well, it ends up that what is he? I mean, do you think we'll ever know what caused that accident?
I think there will be. Well, there's a couple of things going on right now. In these types of situations, they're going to do, you know, research and studies and whatever. What do they call that? I can't think of the word. But anyway, they're going to do a bunch of research on it. People will try to figure out the cause of the accident. Mm-hmm. And
they're good at that too, by the way, Tim. I mean, they're good.
They are good at that. The early indications report that Tiger Woods was driving pretty fast. The place where he got in an accident is a very common place for accidents because, I mean, I've never been there, but according to the reports, there's like a hill that dips down. The biggest concern that I have, I don't know if Tiger, I mean, who knows what Tiger was doing? I'm not going to speculate what he was doing, but he could have been on his phone, you know, who knows? But how does a guy go from the right lane, hits the curb, crosses the lane, and he doesn't brake at all? There's no sense of a brake, because what the people did say who were studying the crash was that there was no braking. Mm-hmm. There was no sense of braking. So he goes from the right side of the road, hits a curb, runs over a tree, and then it comes to rest somewhere over there in, you know, the desert area. And it's just a very confusing situation.
Yeah. But, you know, you've seen, I don't know if you've experienced this firsthand, but I'm sure you've seen cars that are on, maybe not freeways, but areas that the car gets going pretty fast. I'm sure they have them in Minnesota. They have them in every part of the country. And when someone's on distracted, either trying to get something on the floor that they've dropped, or talking on the phone or texting. Heck, I see people that I pass by in the mornings that have their phone up that are FaceTiming people while they're driving. So there's a lot of distractions. And so obviously he was distracted somehow. He either passed out for a second or he was distracted. And it happens very quickly, especially when you have speed. You know, the speed gives you less time to react.
Yeah.
And by the time he realized what had happened, I think he was getting tossed around in that car quite a bit. And, you know, what surprises me is that they came out yesterday and they said that they weren't going to press any charges. If that happened to you or to me, believe me, we would have had reckless driving charges. He lucked out tremendously. If there were cars, he went across two lanes of
traffic.
Yeah, that were against him. And those guys were going fast too. So he was very fortunate that he didn't get into a head-on crash.
He was conscious when the officers and people were trying to get him out of the car. So that's a very positive thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully it was just a case of speeding and, you know,
right,
being tired or whatever. Who knows what was going on. Let's talk about the road to recovery. So a lot of people are saying, Hank included, was I'm going to bet on Tiger Woods because he's shown time and time again that Tiger can come back from injuries. I mean, the back fusions and, you know, Hank brought up the story from the 2008 U.S. Open where Tiger went on the broken leg and he talked about the doctor visit and he talked about how Tiger ignored basically what the doctor was saying. And Tiger told Hank that he was going to win the U.S. Open. And that's just a great comeback story. Uh-huh. However, in my opinion, I believe this is a little different. One, because of Tiger's age, but I'm not even considering Tiger's age in this situation. Tiger, I think Tiger's biggest motivation to win the 2019 Masters was to show his kids what kind of golfer he used to be. It was a flash in the pan. Crazy things had to happen for Tiger to win that major. Francesco Molinari, Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau all put it in the water on 12. Molinari put it in the water on 15. Xander Schauffele had a lead at one point down the stretch, and Tiger hit missiles into the flag, which were great shots. But Tiger was fortunate that some people hit it in the water on 12 and 15. And also, yeah, I just think Tiger wanted to show his kids that he was a great golfer because they've never seen that golfer. Tiger's referenced it many times. Tiger referenced how he is the YouTube dad to his kids and they never got to see him play. He came close in the 2008 Open Championship. He lost by a couple of shots after struggling down the stretch. And I think
that's what his motivation is. You think his motivation is, hey, you know what? I'm going to not necessarily teach his kids a lesson, but hey, I just want them to see what a little flash of how it used to be.
Yes, I think that was Tiger's biggest motivation.
So what's his motivation now? I mean, this is we're talking about, and they'll sensationalize these whole injuries. I mean, there's guys that served us in the military in Iraq and Iran that have gotten severe, I mean, just injuries, multiple injuries like Tiger Woods, you know, compound injuries. The thing that I was reading this morning, it talked about his injuries on his right leg, the breaks. There wasn't a clean break. It was a comminuted break, which means it was a tough one for me. I thought, man, I better get that right.
Yeah.
What that means is it's not a clean break. It's a break that shatters the bone like an eggshell shattering. So the likelihood of them putting that back together. Now, the body is an amazing thing. The healing powers of the body are incredible. He's going to have some scar tissue. I think this is something that could, I mean, this could be a positive for Tiger Woods. This could be something that he can continue to live the 2019 Masters as a victory lap. I think this puts a whole new perspective on. He's got something else to overcome. He's got to overcome something tremendous. And I think he will be back. You know, I look at the leaderboard for this week, the Workday, the World Golf Championship. And you look up there and you got a Webb Simpson. I like Webb Simpson. Good guy, solid guy. You have a Brooks Koepka up there. But other than that, I said, Tim, is there anybody up here on this leaderboard that excites you? And it was hard to find. I mean, what excited you mostly was, wow, a lot of these great players, John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, are way over par.
John Rahm's not way over par, but DJ, Justin Thomas is one over par. Bryson DeChambeau is 5 over par. Matthew Walsh shot 12 over, and then W. Deed.
Yeah. So, I mean, my point is Tiger Woods is the main draw. I mean, if there's no Tiger Woods, my mom doesn't watch much golf, but when Tiger Woods is playing, man, she's watching. And that does like a lot of fans. So
Tiger brings in the casual golfer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No doubt about it. And so you think, okay, why is that? It's not his history. It's people want to see phenomenal shots. They want to see shots. They want to see great pressure shots. They want to see things that they can't do. That's why we like seeing pro athletes in football, in basketball, the dunks that they make, the catches that they make, the throws, the runs, all that stuff. The fans want to see things that their idols, the athletes can do that we can't do.
Yeah, fans want to see greatness. They want to see someone separate themselves in any sport. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
Greatest athletes ever.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Tiger Woods is the guy that does that for golf. And if for some reason he can't come back, it's going to be a sad day for golf. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's take our second break. Go to HaneyUniversity.com right now to get free daily golf tips. You can sign up for Hank's newsletter. It comes out every day. And you can get better at golf. You can learn about your game. Hank walks you through the most common mistakes in golf. He walks you through how to hit better shots. You can also send your golf swings into golf schools with an S at HankHaney.com, a down-the-line video of your swing. And the Great Predictor or one of the guys will analyze it and send you a free game plan back. There's also great practice aids on HaneyUniversity.com, like putting mats and you can hit into this net type thing. I don't know what they call it. Practice area, whatever. All right, HaneyUniversity.com for all your golfing needs. We'll be right back.
Let's leave it on a positive. Let's leave it on a little positive here.
Because, what's your positive?
I mean, we're kind of on a downer here.
Yeah, what's your positive?
The positive is the tour has now gone to Florida, PGA Tour. We're going to see, this is everyone's gearing up for the Masters now, right? We've got, what do we have? The Players' Championship coming up in a few
Players'
weeks.
Players' Championship, API.
They're playing a lot of promos for the players. I like the players in March because it's a different look to that golf course. You've got a lot more definition. You don't have much rough, but you do have overseeded fairways, overseeded greens. The conditions are a little tougher because of the it's not so hot. I think we're getting into a stretch here on the PGA Tour where, I mean, we're going to see some tremendous golf.
This is the best part of the PGA Tour season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'd say from right now until
the U.S. Open.
Yeah, the U.S. Open. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Great stretch of golf right now.
Yeah. So that's a positive. Don't you think
there's
that's
a positive? Let's go. Positive thoughts.
Okay.
Positive momentum. All right. Let's wrap up. I got to poop really bad.
Oh,
go to HaneyUniversity.com, VoodooPanelleaf.com. Make putts, hit bombs, leave the flag stick in. Follow all of us on Twitter at Hank Haney, at Great Predictor 1 for Steve Johnson, and at Tim Parachka.
And tell it like it is, always. Send me your videos, golfschools@HankHaney.com. We're about to start a new platform with Haney University where you can subscribe to unlimited videos. You send them in, and we are going to send you right back a video, a little coach video for you, and we're looking forward to it.
See you guys.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.